الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Just a reminder, inshallah, after the remaining dua, we will have a lecture and a bayan by Mulana Mahmood Chandia Sahib, which is titled Taraweeh, the final verses or a new beginning. All brothers are requested to participate in this program, inshallah, especially as we are entering the last few final days of our Taraweeh. Inshallah, Allah, Mulana Sahib will grant us an insight into the importance of that and why we should value it, inshallah. So please benefit from this program, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلاة وسلام برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Yes, sir.
¿Qué si Pablo está? ¿A qué si Pablo quiere saber? ¿Tarabima si Pablo? ¿Tarabima si Pablo? ¿Sobre gente?
We're doing lots. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا وقال الله عز وجل وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِئْنَا الْهُدَىٰ آمَنَّا بِهِ فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسًا وَلَا رَحَقًا صدق الله المولانا العظيم وعن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رجل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحال المرتحل فقال الرجل وما الحال المرتحل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الذي يضرب القرآن من أول القرآن إلى آخر القرآن كلما حل ارتحل أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Respected brothers and those brothers and sisters listening through alternative means and devices, near or far, greet you all with the greetings of Islam. As we approach the end of the holy month of Ramadan, one conversation dominates. When is the completion of the Holy Quran? And this is the season. This is the season of completion of Holy Quran, and we await the final dua, because the final dua, angels descend and kiss the individual who have been participating in the recital of the Holy Quran between the eyes on the brow. That is an amazing honor. That's what Taraweeh is all about. Listening to the words of the Holy Quran, because we have been patiently waiting behind an imam for him to go into ruku and finish the 20 rakats, whether we understand the words or we do not understand the words out of respect, but these are the words of Allah Rabbul Alameen, we patiently wait. Allah Rabbul Alameen is all aware of our intentions, our deeds, and our situation. He sends his angels down to kiss those who participate in the completion of the Holy Quran upon the brow between the eyes. That, brothers, if we could see that, we can't see it. It's the unseen world for us at the moment. But when we come to our final moments and the unseen becomes the seen, sometimes you will be in hospital rooms where the patient is in the last moments. And obviously physicians, doctors know. But what they cannot see and what relatives can't see, but children sometimes see this because they are sinless, innocent. Room filled with angels. Room filled with nur. And when the unseen becomes the seen, as it said, people are sleeping. An-nasu niyam. Fa-iza matu intabahu. When they will lose their lives, when they will die, they will gain consciousness of what this world was actually about and how deceptive and luring it was. And how we became prey to it and how we fell to our passions and desires. Allah safeguard us and protect us. The recitation that we will listen to, inshallah, this evening, which is what I just asked Hafizab, is from Surah Jinn. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with jinn. And by the way, I don't mean to scare anybody, just in case you are of the nervous disposition. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the jinn 6 times in his life. And we learn a lot of maslas from this. One of the maslas that we learn is about washing ourselves after a call of nature. And whether stones, and those stones that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used is a 3-pronged stone, a triangular shape. And that masla comes from there. In extreme circumstances, if you've ever visited Egypt and spent a night on Mount Sinai, that masla comes into use there. So these mas'alas are very... No masla in Islam is to be neglected. Everything is of use. Islam is a very practical thinking man's religion. So these... On one meeting, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to this Suq-e Uqaz. There were 4 occasions in the year where the Arab tribes came together. And the Arab society, even today in some countries, albeit they're nationalized, they're very tribal. They work as blocks. And to control that area, you have to be able to control the tribes and the tribal leaders. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Suq-e Uqaz, one of these modern day exhibition events where all the tribes were coming to sell or buy or extol the virtues of their tribe through poetry. So he went to give them da'wah because there was a gathering, an ijtima of people, a non-religious ijtima. But they shunned his message and they shunned him away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left them disheartened, dispirited, that I'm offering them salvation in this world and the hereafter. I am the final messenger. And it was equally an obligation upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to believe in himself as the final messenger. Now, so he went away and they rested. And they rested overnight at a place called Valley of Nakhla. Nakhla means the date palm tree. Nowadays, when we go for Umrah or Hajj, we either go to Bin Dawood for our dates or khajur. We either call the guy to our hotel room because we want the missus to taste the khajur or at least see the khajur before we get in trouble, before we buy it. But what we should try to do, if possible, is actually go to a date palm field and see how they plant those date palms. How did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam plant himself? And what is, because it's a tree that is mentioned in the Quran as an example of iman and so high. So he went through this valley of Nakhla, valley of date palm trees. There he spent a night, and at Fajr time they woke up to do Fajr Salah, and there he was leading Fajr Salah. And where he was leading Fajr Salah, there was a group at the same time of jinns. A group of up to 9 jinns who were roaming the earth because they were looking for a reason why their access to the heavens had been cut off. They knew something has happened in this world. Because before this, they could scale up to the heavens, listened into, eavesdrop into what Allah Rabbul Alameen was communicating to the angels. And they were then passing that on to soothsayers. Now, soon as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to this world and the Quran revelation started, they stopped. Access to the heavens had been stopped. And they were wondering why. And they were sent out small groups in different places of the world to find this out. And one group came here, Valley of Nakhla. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting. Beautiful voice of the best of creation, reciting the beautiful words of Allah Rabbul Alameen. What a scene, what an image. As those who've just returned from Umrah, they will think we were immersed in listening to the Quran because of the recitation of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting, these jinns have got there. And this story started a few days ago in the 26th juz. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. And remember the time, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, remember the time when we turn towards you a group of jinn who were attentively listening to the Quran. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ, when they were present there, they said, shh, 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 unsit. Listen to the Quran. Listen to this. They said, this is similar to what was being sent to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Rabbul Alameen, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no idea until Surah Jinn came down. This is the first surah that we will listen to, inshallah, this evening. Surah number 72. And the Quran says, Prophet is now being informed that whilst you are reciting, أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Say, it has been revealed to me that a group of Nafar is an Arabic word that describes up to 9 people. A group of jinn were attentively listening. فَقَالُوا, and those jinn said, إِنَّا سَمِئْنَا قُرْآنًا أَجَبًا. We have heard a wonderful Qur'an. I was a few days ago at the European Islamic Center for a unity iftar event. 150 non-Muslims were in attendance. Quite a few of them, lecturers, professors, teachers, white-collar workers, etc. Quite a few of them had fasted. MashaAllah, out of respect. And none of this Lent fasting. I give up a chocolate and I give up coffee. Proper fasting, as we know it. So I asked him, put your hand up if you were fasting. Half of them put their hand up. I said, the way you feel right now, that's how we felt on day one. But we are enjoying it. You carry on fasting. Achabi. And the Quran was recited. It was a Qari from Saudi Arabia. I think he was a graduate student. Recited very well, mashallah, the Holy Quran. He was invited there to lead Tarawih Salah. You could see these non-Muslim listening very attentively, bowing their heads in respect, or their faces was as though they were about to have an emotional outburst. That's the magic of the Quran. And it's two qualities of the Quran that I wish to say, that if we disengage with the Quran, that's what we're missing out on. So these Taraweeh, the final verses are about to come. And the hadith that I cited, a man came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, which is the best deed I can do? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always answered according to the person who came to him and something that would be benefit to him. One man comes, Ya Rasulullah, give me some short nasiha counseling. He looked at him and he told him, La taghdab, don't become angry. Probably had an anger management problem. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, give me something else. No, La, don't become angry. Third time he asked him. So, I mean, the presence of Rasulullah, I need to ask something, I need to do something. Another companion saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to his majlis and he saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his collar open here. All his life, he did not fasten his buttons here, just to follow the example of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person is asked 3 times, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something. He said, don't become angry. So all his life he never became angry. Just few minutes with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed their lives. So they're listening to this Quran. I said, this Quran, yahdi ila rushd, it guides to goodness. فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. So we have embraced it. We will never ever associate with our Lord any partner. And the next page is as, وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِئْنَا الْهُدَىٰ. This is now the jinn speaking. When we heard the guidance, we believed in it. And فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ Whoever believes in his Lord, فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْسَى He will never fear any decrease. وَلَا رَحَقَى Nor any injustice. Every single thing. If you read the books, actually don't read the books, you might get a bit scared. If you read the books about those who communicated in dreams with their loved ones, and this simple question is, of the title of that book is, مَا فَعَلَ رَبُّكُ What did your Lord do with you? اللَّهُ أَبَّا Through dreams, the deceased communicate to loved ones. And there's a whole book on it, written by a Syrian scholar. So, is it everything here with Allah is accounted for? Every single thing. You picked up litter, you had a good thought, you carried that out, you helped this. You may think, that's nothing. Just an act of kindness. Every single thing. Your wudu will have a model, a shape on the Day of Judgment. That this is the wudu. Your kalima that you recite, this is Hadithul Bitaqa. That everybody's worried now, an individual, really, I'm going to that hot place now, I don't have anything. Then an angel will bring out this chitti with the kalima on it. You are a believer of this. And that weight of that kalima will shoot up the air. So when they heard the Quran, these jinns embraced it, believed it. This is, the Quran is haqq. In our lives, we have been taught this at school, whichever school you went to, that there was a system called Marxism. Karl Marx and his mate, Friedrich Engels. You have Stalin, you had Mussolini, you had Mao or Chairman Mao, you had Lenin. All these people who espouse these values of Marxism or socialism, i.e. human beings, should be based on this economic platform of who has, who has not. Everything is controlled by everybody. The ownership is collective. That is one model of thinking. Or you have another thinker, which was Adam Smith and capitalism, that you earn as much money as you like, according to whichever principle you may like. And if you don't like that principle or it's not in your favor, then you just sit as the chairman of that body who makes the rules up. Or you become the president of a country who just happens to make rules at the flip of a coin. So that's capitalism. Islam has no problem with people earning bucket loads of money. Islam put measures in that money is halal. Because that halal money will be very blissful and blessed. And if you want to see across the globe where you have haram money, there's no barakah in that living. You may well have colleagues who think, always complaining, this paycheck is not going far enough for me. When you're thinking, hang on a second, I'm the only one earning here in my family or whichever, and it's going much more. We're giving to the masjid, we're having a bit of a holiday, every few years we can go for umrah. Where is this barakah coming from? Halal risk. What goes on here is very important for us. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Quran is haqq. The jinn accepted this. And another form of living was Samuel Huntington's theory in the late 80s, who, Pentagon worker, defense ministry of US. He actually borrowed of somebody else's, but the world doesn't know that. Samuel Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. That he, in his paper, 8 different types of civilizations. And then he narrowed it down that the, how should I say this? Number one economic powerhouse of the world is only threatened by 2 civilizations. One is the Chinese civilization and the other is the Muslim civilization. And then he narrowed it down. Okay, put your finger on one. Top of the list was the Muslim civilization. So you will find since 1988, there's another type of thinking going on about the Muslim world. And ever since then, we've been on the back foot. And we are reactionary, rather than being very progressively forward and thinking. So that was Samuel Huntington's, it's according to civilization. Charles Darwin came up with another theory, and that it's depending how you're born, you have animals that have sort of changed over time, and then monkey, we go from human. Well, if people want to believe the ancestors were monkey, that's fine with me. But Allah Rabbul Alameen is telling us very openly in the Quran, and plenty hadith states, Allah created us. Our ancestors are not monkeys. And that was one theory. People come up with different theories. They came up with these different theories. You have to understand the timing of those theories. And because in the 18th century, there's a lot of philosophical thinking that came out. Because Europe had turned away from Christianity. The Enlightenment happened. Enlightenment because science now takes over. Science is going to explain everything. So you have to come up with a theory. How did this world come about? What is the purpose of human being? All these questions that Islam answers. So Islam's raison d'etre, the reason Allah Rabbul Alameen is saying, Ja al-Haq, Haq came into this world. The platform and criteria is Haq. Nothing to do with civilizations, nothing to do with human beings. This is truth, this is falsehood. You come into it, you abide by the rules. If you don't accept it, that's your choice, but there's consequences. Quran is very explicit about this. And here, this is what the jinns realize. Quran is Haq. Consistent with the message of Musa alayhi salam. Why would it not be? Or with the message of Isa alayhi salam? Because the source is one, and that is Allah. So the first adjective we need to understand about the Quran, quality of the Quran, is Haq. The Quran says, for example, we heard in the seventh juz, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. This was a group of monks who came to Madinatul Munawwar. In those days, Abyssinia, modern-day Ethiopia, Eritrea, etc., East African coast, and the connection for the Muslim community was through trade and slavery. Slaves were coming into Makkah to Mukarram. So Abyssinia was a Christian fortress. Rome has been, Syria has been. And from there, Najashi, the ruler, Negus, wanted to find a bit more about Islam. So he sent a delegation of 70 monks who were well versed in the Arabic language. Go and find out a bit more about this Quran and the Prophet. So he sends a delegation. These monks arrive in Madinatul Munawwara, Masjid-e-Nabawi. Allahu Akbar. We pray to Allah, Allah, take us there. Even people nowadays, whiz air, go Friday, come back Sunday, a few namaz in, they go halfway around the world on whiz air just to get to Madinatul Munawwara. And Allahu Akbar, Madinatul Munawwara. Salam to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and back. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting the Quran and these monks arrive. They're listening to Surah Yasin, the heart of the Quran, from the best mouth of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How would they not be influenced? The Quran captures this scene. It says, when they heard what was being sent down to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَرَاءَ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. You see their eyes overflowing with tears. Allah. They were not just, the tears were not just moisture in the eyes, they were overflowing onto their cheeks. Why? Because they acknowledged the truth was right in front of them. When Allah opens the heart out for the truth, and many Orientalists, non-Muslims who were studying Islam, if they approach the Quran with an open heart, Allah has blessed them with iman. And those who came with a closed heart to find faults, shortcomings according to their narrow understanding, they were never guided. They were never ever guided. In fact, one thinker, one academic in Canada, who at the end of his life, I think he was in Calgary University, he came up with this theory with many people for the last 25 years of the 20th century followed. And that theory was that Islam is a product of Judaism plus Christianity equals Islam. It's an offshoot. So the team up of the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is normally put together in a lot of books, that Islam is a byproduct of this. It's nothing original. The Quran is words for na'uzubillah that some man has put together or concocted. And some said that there was no such man as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others, no, there was a man called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he had no law. And these special words that they were coming up, they were sort of borrowed from Jewish sources and Christian sources, etc., and put together. Quran came, so this is Haq, and refute every other type of lifestyle. That's one quality. And when the people of Makkah, one individual comes to mind? Tufail ibn Amr Dawsi. Daws is the tribe in Yemen. The Yemen tribe, Daws, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from that tribe. He came out. This man was an amazing Arabic language specialist. So everybody came to pay homage to the Kaaba in those days, in the way they understood to pay respect and homage to the Kaaba. So everybody warned him. Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, everybody warned him. To be very careful of this man, Muhammad. He's got some magic spell over people, and the way he talks, it just influences people. We're just amazed, and we can't really do anything about this. He says, okay. He said, no. This has extra magical powers in the words. You need to cover your ears. Now, brothers, you will know the best of, what are they called? Earpods. Even if you got the best of the best, there's still some sound coming through. Now, if you want to test that theory, by the way, if somebody's got something on, just tell me why I owe you some money and see if they're listening to you or not. So he locks out, plugs his ears, puts some cotton wool in, and goes to the Kaaba. Does his respect, and Rasulullah Sallam is sitting there reciting the Quran. The form of da'wah, just reciting the Quran. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting, and this man stops. Because the blessed voice and the amazing words of the Quran are coming in. So he sits there and he's pulled towards them, slowly leaning towards. And then he takes this thing out, leaning. Then he takes the other one out. And he's totally immersed. Like if you ask for people who go for Salatul Taraweeh and behind Sheikh Fulan, Sheikh Fulan, Sheikh Fulan, totally immersed. 2 hours of recitation. We don't know where the time went. 1.25 hours in Devonshire Road Masjid. Why are these imams so slow? 2 hours aside. So he's listening to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting the Quran. And he goes to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You Muhammad? He said, yes. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. When haq penetrates the heart, it pushes away the barriers of darkness, of falsehood, of lies and deceit and roguishness, and enters, because at that point the nur of Allah enters. And that's the second quality of the Quran that we need. The Quran. And everybody can do it. So I said, one of the hadiths that I started off, then I went off on a tangent, I'll come back to it. That the Prophet is approached, Ya Rasulullah, which is the best deed I can do? So when you recite the Quran, then be a person, al-hal wal-murtahid. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, despite being what the Quran says, an unlettered individual, could not read or write. Sometimes he spoke at such a sophisticated level of Arabic, the companions could not understand. And there were some amazingly eloquent, articulate companions. Hassan bin Sabit, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's poet, where he was pushed forward to respond to the Quraysh in poetic form. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what does this mean? He would use words that nobody knew. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, al-halul murtahil, that when you come to the final verse of the Holy Quran, get on your saddle again and start riding again. I.e. don't stop. This is why we don't stop at Qul A'udhu Rabbin Nas. We stop at Al-Muflihun. And the message there is from Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't stop reading the Quran. Start again and continue. That means the next year we come to Taraweeh, we don't carry on from Ulaika ala hudan mir rabbihum wa ulaika humul muflihun. We don't carry on, we start from Alif Lam Mim again. So the idea is to keep on reading the Quran. I went to the Bradford Literary Festival, which happens in June, July sometime. There's an Imam, Hamza Yusuf, who comes. Comes regularly, mashallah, very learned, very articulate, well-read individual, a bit of a bibliophile. Very, very well-versed in his range of disciplines that he's knows about. I was in his talk once, listening to him a few years ago, and I was with this Maulana Sahib, and I was listening to Sheikh Hamza talking, and after the talk, went outside, said to Maulana Sahib, how did you find that talk? I said, Maulana, what did you find interesting? There's a lot of waffle. I said, Astaghfirullah. I said, he said one gem thing. He probably was sleeping then. I said, the gem he said, how do you remember the Islamic date?
Now we're all waiting for the 30th of Ramadan. We know when that is.
Are we waiting for Eid? Are we waiting for Bakrayn? Is it throughout the year? How do you remember the Islamic date? I said, that was the gem. He says, every day from the first month, recite one juz. In line with the month that you're in. So if you're in Shawwal, for example, then Shawwal the first, read Alif Lam Mim. Shawwal the second, read Sayakulu. Shawwal the third, read Tilka Rusulu. And if it's a 29th month, then finish two paras and come back online. That's how you remember the Islamic date. But also, you will get into a practice of reading your Hizb, or the part of the Quran that you should listen to. So that's the when the Noor of Quran enters. Hazrat Muawiyah bin Muawiyah al-Juhani radiallahu ta'ala, no, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning from the Battle of Tabuk. The battle was towards the end of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And he was coming back. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to prepare for Janazah Salah. Ya Rasulullah. Giving the order to prepare for Janazah Salah. Tells the companion, prepare for Janazah Salah. The companion said, whose Janazah is it? So Janazah Salah is done and performed. And the Janazah funeral prayer was actually, the deceased was in Madinatul Munawwara. All the curtains were open for him. And the companions asked, to cut a long story short, Ya Rasulullah, whose funeral was it? But this was Muawiyah bin Muawiyah al-Juhani. Allama ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi has put a whole encyclopedic work together of all the biographies of all the companions. Said, whose janazah is Muawiyah bin Muawiyah al-Juhani? Said, why? He says, not only why, two rows of angels came down, and in each row there were 60,000 angels. Said, Ya Rasulullah, what did they do? He said, this is what we need to find out. So after they reached Madinatul Munawwara, they asked his family members, asked his wife, what was he doing? Said, Ya Rasulullah, the thing I know, this person sitting down, standing, lying down, waiting, engaged in his normal preoccupations, he always recited Qul Huwallahu Ahad until the end of the surah. It's one surah. This is the nur of one surah, brothers. That angels descend for your funeral. One companion was made a leader of a delegation. Rasulullah would appoint a leader normally. He said, you lead the salah and your leadership role is this. When they came back, he always asked for what we call in Tabligh Jamaat movement, Karguzari. What happened? Best lessons learned. So Rasulullah asked for the Karguzari, best lessons learned. He said, Ya Rasulullah, amazing leader. There's only one issue though. Every time he stood up to lead salah, whichever surah he recited, he always finished the rakat with Qul Huwallah. That's a strange practice. So Rasulullah ﷺ called him. You have a glowing report, but this is something we need an explanation for. Ya Rasulullah, Adul Surah Ikhlas. I love it. I mean, come to think of it, as Qul Huwallahu Ahad and Na'atina, probably the most recited surahs in the world. They go on autopilot. When the Hafiz Sahab comes to read in Na'atina Qul Huwallahu Ahad, everybody's ready to take a mistake out. So, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love Qul Huwallah. Rasulullah said, Hubbuka Surah Ikhlas Yudkhiluka Al-Jannah. Your love for Surah Ikhlas will take you into Jannat al-Firdaus. One portion of the Quran. So, brothers, the final Taraweehs may be coming. In fact, 27 tonight and after in some masjid, it's a deflated atmosphere. The buzz is gone. It may well be, but this lesson is telling us, soon as you come to an end, you restart. And if you want to take the wisdom of Shaykh Hamza Yusuf, goodbye, if you want to remember Shawwal, read the first para. On Eid day, read the first juz. Or how much you can read. Eventually, Allah will give you the ability to engage in one juz. And slowly, slowly, you do it. Because the Quran is also new. 28th juz, you heard it a few days ago. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. Believe in Allah, believe in the Messenger, and
follow the nur that we have sent down. What is the nur? That's the Quran. As you listen to the Quran, nur is being pumped into your heart. Allah Rabbul Alameen give us the ability to internalize that the Quran is truth. There is no secular ideology that can compete with it. Our iman is the Quran is the truth, whether it's the 7th century in Makkah al-Mukarram or Medina al-Munawwara or the 21st century globally. Quran is the message of the truth, and the Quran will guide us where there is darkness spread, because it is nur. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal istima'ana haza اجتماعاً مغفوراً واجعل تفرقنا بعده تفرقاً معصوماً. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا وصدقاتنا وزكاتنا وتبرعاتنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا رب. That's okay, nobody works tonight.